Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer. Here we don't quite make it to an hour, though. Good morning, welcome, nice to have you here. Let's greet one another. If you don't know who's sitting in front of you or behind you, take a moment and introduce yourself. Nice to have you here today. If you go in, everybody's invited for coffee fellowship. If you go in there, you'll see a number of bowls and birdhouses. There's a basket of a couple baskets, but one of them have two bottles of wine in there. So stay away from the wine, okay? Anyway, in two Saturdays from now, we're going to have this pie and ice cream social. Auction, lucky draw, I don't know what all is going to be there, but some wonderful things. There's a few people in our congregation who we want to help out a little bit, so that's why we'd have the pie and ice cream social, so hope you join us. Oh, there's also a bunch of jams or jellies? Jellies. Must be jelly, because jam don't shake like that. Good morning. What you got in that cup there, boy? you just coming from Castaways? Anyway, jellies, huh? Jams, yeah. The gals got together on Monday morning and put 550 jars of jam. The veggie stand opens on this Saturday from, 8:30, 9 o'clock to 11, okay? So the jams and jellies are for sale now, $4 a bottle, a jar. And if you bake this week, cookies or cakes or muffins or something, that veggie stand really does a nice job, and some of these fishermen come and they're hungry, and just a nice witness to us. What we use, all that money that we receive for that, there's maybe 35 or 100 or 4,000 bucks we receive in the summertime. It all goes to help local people out. So that opens this Saturday. If you've got vines or plants, or you got to separate, bring those over. That reminds me, yesterday, I've got my grandson with me. He needed chores to do, so we brought some, what are those red flowers for Pentecost? Geraniums. Geraniums down to the sign in the veggie stand, down in the memory garden. So we dug up all that planter and placed those little six geraniums in there and put a nice mulch over the top. And this morning I saw this huge buck over there. Yeah, so everybody's got to eat, I guess. Anyway, the veggie stand's opening. Wanted two women to attend the 2015 convention up in Duluth. It's a wonderful opportunity for education, so if anyone can do that, that would be great. I think the rest of the announcements are self-explanatory. I want to invite Pat Becker. Oh, there you are. Pat is the chairperson of our stewardship committee, and each week we're going to take a few minutes or moments and share what stewardship's about. Yeah, why don't you? Some of us are hard of hearing.
Yes, like Pastor was saying, each week here now for the next 5 or 6 weeks, a different committee from the church will kind of be sharing information with you so that we can improve communication within within this body. So I'm here as the facilitator for the Stewardship and Finance Committee. The members of our committee include Wally Swenson, Carolyn Morris, Warren Rollick, Barb Forrester, who is also our church financial secretary, and Dale Sims, who is our council representative, and myself. So if any of you, we are always in need of more members on our Stewardship and Finance Committee, just as all the other committees are. And it gives you a wonderful opportunity not only to serve the church, but also to serve Christ. The purpose of our committee is to help God's people, which are all of us, to grow in our relationship with Jesus Christ through the use of our time, our talents, and our finances, which God has entrusted to us. And so during the course of each year, we look at the time, the talent that we have in this congregation, the finances that we have in this congregation, and we encourage everybody, each one of us, to look at these gifts that are given to us by God. Our duties and our responsibilities as a committee are, one, to assess the gifts of each member of the congregation and their interest in helping the church, and then distribute the findings to our council and to the rest of the committees. And this is done when you fill out the time and talent sheets. And this year, we distributed those findings to all of the committees. So if you haven't filled out a time or talent sheet, just see one of our members, and we'll be happy to get you one. The second duty of our committee is to establish and recommend a yearly budget to the council. And we do this, first of all, by now this coming month, we will ask all of the committees to formulate what they would like to see as their budget for their committee. And then they turn that into the Stewardship and Finance Committee, and by July and the beginning of August, we will finalize a budget that we will forward to the council. Our third responsibility is to review the monthly financial report, and this comes from Steve Long, who is our church treasurer. And so we go through the budget, and we look at the expenses, we look at the revenues to see how those resources are coming in and if we are meeting our bills. Our fourth responsibility is to oversee the yearly recommendations and the distribution of benevolence funds given through the envelope donations. And so this year, if you haven't been into the fellowship hall, you will see that we have established a giving tree. And on that giving tree, when you go in for coffee, there are many groups within our congregation here, including World Hunger, the Food Shelf, Local Benevolence, Global Benevolence, and WELCA. And together so far, we have distributed over $15,000 in gifts to organizations and to agencies and to individuals. So this congregation is a very giving congregation, and we certainly thank each and every one of you for that. We try to keep church members updated and informed on various aspects of stewardship and finance. And for example, we all have gifts, and we really stress this in stewardship. The veggie stand, as Pastor said, is coming up. A dozen cookies is your gift. We can all kind of contribute. We have the pie and ice cream social coming up. This is another chance for us to be able to use the stewardship gifts that God has granted to us. And the sixth responsibility that we have is to oversee the functions and the activity of the church financial secretary position. And this year, We recommended to the council to update our computer programs for all the financial dealings, both the treasurer, the financial secretary, and the office, so that when our computer crashes like it has, we don't lose everything, including mailing labels and everything. So that this has been done. And the volunteers that do these jobs have put in hours of training, and they are sincerely thanked for their endeavors and for the work that they do within our church. So again, thank you very much from behalf of the Stewardship and Finance Committee for contributing both your time, your talents, and your financial resources. Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Well, Lord, we gather this Sunday morning in the midst of storms and clouds and rain. In some of our lives, we are having storms and clouds and rains. And some of us come full of sunshine because you have smiled upon us. And yet we gather to help each other down the road, to care for one another, to speak your word, to show your love to the world, to let people know that in you we find peace and hope and joy and support and care. Stir our hearts today with your Holy Spirit. Wake us up from our doldrums. Remind us of your continued love and presence. Send your power to us this morning as we receive your holy sacrament. Bless us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Our opening hymn is 661. We'll rise during the singing of the last verse.
Jesus. told old story of Jesus and his love.
Please turn to the order of confession and forgiveness in your bulletins. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, who calls us beloved children, who gathers us into one flock, who guides us into all truth. Let us confess our sins, trusting that God will forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's take a moment for silent confession. Let us confess together. Faithful and just God, we confess that we are captive to doubt and fear, bound by the ways that lead to death. We have not loved our sisters and brothers as you have first loved us. Forgive us, God of mercy. Let your Holy Spirit work in us to change our lives and make us new, that we may know the abundant life given in Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that God loved us and sent the Son to atone for our sins. In the name of Jesus Christ, I announce to you that your sins are forgiven. Let the perfect love of God cast out fear, fill you with joy, and inspire you to live for others.
Amen.
Let's join in the prayer of the day. Gracious and glorious God, you have chosen us as your own, and by the powerful name of Christ, you protect us from evil.
By your Spirit,
transform us and your beloved world, that we may find our joy in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
My God, my Savior, has ransomed. Beautiful job, choir. Thank you. The first reading today is from 1 John chapter 5, verses 9 through 13. God has borne witness to the gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Whoever believes in the Son of God believes in the witness of God and has the promise of eternal life. If we receive human testimony, the testimony of God is greater, for this is the testimony of God that he has testified to his Son. Those who believe in the Son of God have the testimony in their hearts. Those who do not believe in God have made him a liar by not believing in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And this is the testimony. God gave us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Whoever has the Son in life, whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The psalm today is Psalm 1. Please read responsibly in the bold print, and where you see the bold R, use the refrain, "The Lord knows the way of the righteous." Happy are they who have not walked in the counsel of the wicked, nor lingered in the way of sinners, nor sat in the seats of the scornful. It is in the law of the Lord, and they meditate on God's teaching day and night. The Lord knows the way of the righteous. They are like trees planted by streams of water, bearing fruit in due season, with leaves that do not wither. Everything they do shall prosper. It is not so with the wicked. They are like chaff which the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked shall not stand upright when judgment comes, nor the sinner in the counsel of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall be destroyed. The Lord knows the way of the righteous.
Please stand for the reading of the gospel.
The Holy Gospel for the seventh Sunday of Easter is found in the 17th chapter of St. John. In this reading, the church hears Jesus' words on the night before his death. This gospel reports the words of Jesus' prayer, a prayer for his disciples and for all who would believe in him through their words. Jesus prays, "Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost, except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world, so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth." The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing the first, second, and last verse of Abide With Me. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Did the choir sound good today? I think we were emotionally involved because of our friend Darwin. That was for you and for your dad. The last song we sang here, there was a line that said that God will be with us in our gloom. Jesus is praying. He's had his last supper, takes his disciples out, says, stay awake, I'm going to go up and pray. And this is his prayer. He prays for his disciples. He says, I'm leaving. Greater things will you do in my name. But he promises his disciples and he promises you and me his protection, his preservation, and actually their protection, their preservation, and their perseverance, that they will stick to it. He prays for the disciples' protection. After Christ's resurrection and ascension, the disciples lived in a dangerous time. It was dangerous to be one of his followers. You and I are really fortunate to be able to live here where we do. Move over to Africa or move over to the Mideast. We don't have to really worry about persecution, you and I. The most persecution we get is maybe from a guy like Jesse Ventura, who says Christianity is a pablum for the weak-minded, and that's not really persecution. Jesus knew, though, that his disciples wouldn't be with them. The hostility that had fallen on him was going to fall on the disciples. And so Jesus prays for their protection, but he doesn't pray for their safety, if you notice that. The last thing he wanted them to do was go around armed to the teeth. What he prays for is that nothing harmful would happen to them, but he prays for their unity. Rather than they avoid pain, he prays for their unity. And that got me thinking, there's strength in unity. When you have family and friends and fellow church members to whom you can turn in times of trouble, you can bear the pain that the world throws your way. Any turmoil in your life, if you have unity, if you have fellowship, you can handle what the world throws at you. The church, at its best,
provides that kind of support, that provides that kind of oneness. That's what Jesus is talking about. Keep them together in unity. This is a wonderful congregation. Our stewardship board out there that Pat talked about, we help people. We have people like Darwin and Janine going through fighting cancer for 20 years. I can't imagine the strength and the courage and the sacrifice that you must have gone through, but I suspect without people looking after each other, this would be a hard, cold, cruel, lonely world. We see statistics out there today that the church is dying, especially mainline denominations. And it seems like in this impersonal world, the church is more important than ever because we gather together to help each other down the road, huh? And that's what's needed. Not only that, but we find security in and a safe place in a congregation, huh? There's a fellow by the name of Parker Palmer who wrote a book, A Hidden Wilderness, and he says that the journey we're on is too tough to be made solo. The path is too deeply hidden to be traveled without company. The destination's too daunting to be achieved alone. He reminds us that all of us need places where we can be safe enough and courageous enough to face our brokenness and to discover our wholeness. We in the church must learn to trust one another. He calls churches circles of trust. This is what he says. He says, we need more and more circles from which we can return to the world less divided and more connected to our own souls. That's the protection that the church has always provided for threatened souls, I think. The knowledge that we're not alone, that we not only have the power of God, His Son, His Holy Spirit, flowing through other people who care about one another. The knowledge that people are praying for us on our behalf can be very, very humbling. It's the protection of a loving community that gives us strength. It's a circle of people who will pray for us and stand by us. It's a safe place where people accept us, even though they know that we're flawed and every one of us is flawed. Jesus certainly prays for us to be in a congregation, to find unity. And he prays for our protection in this prayer. And he prays that we would always have that kind of unity. Then he prays for our preservation, that none of us would be lost from the fellowship of believers. He prays that none of us would ever slip away from our faith in God. I love the way the psalmist puts it. He says, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Christ prayed for all of his disciples' preservation. You and I are part of that group. We're surrounded by a company of angels, we're told in the scriptures. And I'm not only talking about those unseen angels in heaven. I'm talking about the angels that are in these pews, the doctors and nurses in this time of graduation, all the teachers that have helped us, that have looked after us, our parents and grandparents. Some of us have been blessed with good families. Some of us have fought the good fight, but we have other mentors. Those are angels. We can be angels to each other. Jesus prays that none of us strays, but that we look after and take care of each other, that we are preserved. And then he prays for our protection. And he prays for our preservation, and he prays for our perseverance. He says, hang in there. Hang in there. I had to speak. I was offered, or I was honored to speak at the baccalaureate up in Aiken this week. I'm wondering what an old, I was going to say old fart, had to say to a bunch of 18-year-olds. And these 18-year-olds had already checked out of school. They're not studying anymore. They're thinking about parties and jobs and school. And what do you say to them? I said to them, your parents wanted you to study hard, wanted you to get good grades, Some of you cheated, some of you knew better, but you had to get good grades. Why did your parents want you to get good grades? Because you could get into better schools or better training. Why do they want you to get into better schools? So that you could get a better job and make lots of money. Why do they want you to get a better job and make lots of money? So that you can drive a fast car and have a big house? And then I said, in parentheses, and get you off the family dole. And I said, all of that is nothing. And I challenged them to give at least a year of their lives in some mission work. Go and work in Center City, Minneapolis. Go to Philadelphia, where there are slums. Go to graduate from college and go into the Peace Corps or AmeriCorps. But see how other people live, and you will find out how blessed you are. And you will be changed, and you will be made whole, because it ain't about climbing the social ladder. And that's what Jesus was talking to his disciples about, I think. That there, in his protection and in his love, they would be preserved and they will find perseverance to stick to it because they know they are blessed and they know that the Holy Spirit is with them. It was a good reminder to me, and I hope it's a good reminder to you. We need each other. We are. Jesus prays that we might be unified. One goal, that's to share his love and to present his message to the world, because in this impersonal age, people need to hear this message more than anything else. That's the message today. May God bless us as a congregation and keep our eyes focused on him. Amen. May God's peace and love be with us now and always. Amen. Let's join in singing. What wondrous love is this? The first, second, and last verse. We'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Please rise. Let us join in the offertory prayer on the bottom of page 4. Let us pray together. Blessed are you, O God, ruler of heaven and earth. Day by day you shower us with blessings. As you have raised us to new life in Christ, give us glad and generous hearts, ready to praise you and to respond to those in need. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Confident that the resurrection of Christ has defeated sin and death, we offer our prayers for the church, the world, and all people in need. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. For the church and the ministry of the gospel throughout the world, let the Holy Spirit guide our witness to Jesus Christ as the Son of God. Let us pray.
for the creation, for trees and fruit, clean water and air, and all inhabitants of the earth, that God raise up careful stewards of the soil, air, and water. Let us pray. For local, regional, and national leaders, for those who protect us from harm, and for this community, that we be led to the truth. Let us pray. For the sick and those who provide healing, for the lonely and those who provide companionship, for the imprisoned and those who seek justice, for the bereaved and those who provide comfort. We especially remember in our prayers Kamiko Lilienquist, Darwin and Janine, Dean and Linda, Ron and Carol, Smokey, Carol Bipes, and those in our lives who need your healing touch. That God protect all who are in need. Let us pray. For those completing their studies this academic year, for those who travel and enjoy recreation, and for those gathered here and those absent, that through our joy we continually offer thanks to God. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the lives you have given to us. We so often take this place for granted. Help us to be good stewards of this church, this land, this community. Help us to be good stewards of our families and friends. Oh Lord, you have granted us joy and peace and hope and love. And as we follow you, we trust that one day you will gather us together, all together in your heavenly places. In thanksgiving for those who have died in the faith, that their witness to the resurrection of Christ inspire our words and our work, let us pray. Holy God, by the death and resurrection of your Son, you have granted new life, abundant renewal, and salvation. Hear our prayers for the sake of the one who has set us free, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Let's join in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, forgiveness of sins, resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
And so we gather at the table of our Lord. At his last supper, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's join in the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
All are welcome at the table of our Lord. This morning we will use intinction, so we will hand you the bread. Please dip it into the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, please let us know, and we will serve you bread that is appropriate. Again, all are welcome. Come, eat and drink.
The congregation, please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. Life-giving God, we give you thanks for nourishing us with the bread of heaven and the wine of love, Jesus our risen Savior. As you send us into the world, guide us from the power of evil, keep us in unity with all your people, and by your Spirit, move us to testify to your grace in our words and actions, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now may Almighty God, who raised our Lord Jesus from the death, lift you up and restore you to wholeness. Amen. Jesus Christ, the Word of life, bless you and send you to be his witnesses.
Amen.
And God, the Holy Spirit, who renews the whole earth, refresh you in the gift of baptism this day and always.
Amen.
Go in peace. Share the good news. Alleluia.
Thanks be to God. Alleluia.
Let's sing the first, second, and last verse of How Great Thou Art.